we have a fifth Sunday, we invite the older elementary students to join us. And I always try and share a message on the family Sundays on a theme that everybody can relate to regardless of our age. I want to share something very relatable, whether you're young and joining us or whether you're a little bit older. And so I want to talk today on the subject of rejection. I think no matter how old we are, we have all felt the sting of rejection at different times in our lives. And so I want to talk today about living accepted in a rejecting world. It is possible to live accepted in the middle of a rejecting world. And to help me kick it off, I have a friend up here today. This is Layla. If you haven't met Layla, Layla is a... Oh, they already know you. That's awesome. Layla is a junior at Bonita High School. She's a volleyball stud. She's part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes leadership team over at Bonita. And she's going to read our scripture text. She's going to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 25 through chapter 3, verse 11. So, Layla, thank you. Would you read for us?
Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he asked, "Who told you you were naked?"
And then one more scripture. I want her also to read Ephesians 1:6 out of the New King James Version.
"To the praise of his glory and grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved."
One more time.
"To the praise of his glory and grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved."
One more time. Really soak these words in. One more time.
Bless you. "To the praise of his glory and grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved."
Oh, I love that phrase. He has made us accepted in the beloved. It is possible to live accepted in a rejecting world. Layla, would you pray for us as we jump into this subject? Okay, thank you.
Dear God, thank you for allowing all of us to gather here today. Please open our minds and hearts to accept the message you have presented us with today, and please allow us to feel the Holy Spirit with us today. Also, please keep us safe this Halloween and for the rest of the week. Amen.
Very good. Perfect. Thank you, hon. That's great.
Sorry.
So, how many of you have ever felt rejected? That relate to you? You felt rejected before? How many of you have actually ever been rejected before? You've actually been rejected. You know, sometimes we feel rejected, but maybe we're not quite as rejected as we think we are. There are times in our lives when we feel rejected, but really we're just having a misunderstanding. Maybe we're having a bad week. Maybe there's been a breakdown in the relationship, but we're not actually quite as rejected as we think we are. But there are indeed times when we feel rejected, and rejection hurts. Sometimes we're rejected by our friends. We're rejected by our coworkers, by our boss, by our loved ones. And I think that rejection is probably one of the worst emotions that a person can feel because it's so personal. There's a lot of other pain that we can experience in life, a lot of other issues we can face, a lot of other things that can beat us up and batter us and knock us around. But rejection, it's just so core. And if any of you are truly experiencing rejection today, I am so sorry. And I'm going to do my best here to try and break some of that off of you. And we accept you for real. And so maybe for just a few minutes today, there could be a wave of acceptance. And maybe you're going to step out of here and step right back into a rejecting situation. But for a few minutes today, maybe just a wave, maybe these giant supernatural arms of God could wrap around your soul and just blanket you for a moment with acceptance, with his love. It is possible to reject rejection and to accept acceptance. And that's what we want to try and do today. So tomorrow is Halloween. Yeah? Thank you for praying for that, by the way, Layla. Are any of you going to be dressing up for Halloween? Any of you have any work functions or school functions or parties where you're going to be dressed up? Let me see those hands again. Okay. Any of you who are dressing up going to wear masks? Aren't masks kind of fun? There's something about wearing a mask that's just super fun. Did you ever see Mission Impossible? Mission Impossible is great. Did you ever see MI2 or 3 or 4 or 5? In my house, we call Mission Impossible 5 Botox Protocol. Have you seen Tom Cruise's face in Mission Impossible 5? He's like a pincushion for Botox. But I love Mission Impossible. I like Tom Cruise too. But I love Mission Impossible because there's always a mask-ripping scene. Remember the mask-ripping scenes? There's always a scene where they're after somebody. They think they've got the guy that they're after. They pounce on Tom Cruise. They're about to take him down. And then he's like, I'm not really Tom Cruise. He rips his face off, and it's another person under there. There's something that's just so intriguing about the idea of masks. I actually brought my mask today. This is my Nacho Libre mask. I have a nephew who's in the second grade. His name is Jet, and we wrestle when we see each other. And whenever we wrestle, we wear our masks. I wanted to preach in it, actually, but I thought, now I feel like the Pope. I just saw my shadow. I love Pope Francis, by the way. But I think it will mess up my microphone if I speak with it. But there's just something that's awesome about wearing masks. Now, the Halloween mask wearing piece began because people believed that on this particular night of Halloween, evil spirits were let loose in the communities. And so people would put on a mask or a costume to distract the spirits. They didn't want the spirits to recognize who they were. Also, they would put gifts or treats on their doorsteps to try and ward the spirits off that way too. But the idea of wearing masks is not a Halloween thing. Humanity has been wearing masks for a really long time, almost from the beginning. We weren't created that way, though. We weren't created to wear masks. We were created to be, as Layla read, naked and unashamed. But the word naked doesn't just have the idea of having your private parts exposed. The word does mean that, but the word naked means uncovered or unassisted. So, yes, this is my naked forearm, but the word doesn't just mean naked in the sense of uncovered. It means naked in the sense of unassisted. On Friday night at the men's retreat, I walked outside for a little bit late in the evening, and I looked up at the stars, and being up on the mountains and away from the city and away from the lights with my eyes unaided by a telescope, I could see thousands of stars and constellations. It was just stunning. From the beginning, you were created to be loved unaided. You were created to be loved without posturing, without presentations, without having to shift or turn or cover or look a certain way. You were created to be loved that way, but something happened. Something went wrong near the beginning. The serpent's temptation in the garden was so vicious. It was so wicked. The serpent said to Eve and to Adam, because Adam was right there too, the serpent said to them in the garden, hey, God is holding out on you. You are so much better than you think you are. There's so much more in you than what you realize, but all of God's rules, all of God's regulations, all of his restrictions are hindering you from your potential. They're holding you back from life. And oh my gosh, how many times through history and how many times in our lives has that statement been repeated? I've got to go my own way. God's holding me back. God's oppressing me. These rules are oppressing me. We've heard it so many times. Here, just eat the fruit and you'll see. Well, they ate the fruit and they saw. But when they ate the fruit, and please stay with me, we've heard this story so many times that we can become almost inoculated to it. When they ate the fruit, their eyes were opened, but they did not see what the serpent said they would see. The serpent said, hey, you're like God. Eat this fruit and you'll see. They ate the fruit, their eyes were open, but they realized, I'm not God. And that was okay, by the way. It's not a bad thing to not be God. You're not God. They weren't God. They were his special son, his special daughter, made in his image, clothed with his glory. They weren't God. The tragedy in the garden was not that they realized, I'm not God. Oh my gosh. The tragedy in the garden was that they never realized that the serpent was lying to them. When the serpent said, eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened, you'll be like God. They ate the fruit, their eyes were open, they weren't like God, and they didn't say, you lied to us. You weren't telling us the truth. I'm not like God. Well, you lied to us. Let me run back to this God who tells us the truth. That's not what they did. When their eyes were open and they realized they weren't like God, they went, oh my gosh, something's wrong with us. The serpent said we would be like God. Surely the devil wouldn't lie to us. The serpent told us we would be like God. I'm supposed to feel like God, but I'm actually feeling like less than a man. Something must be wrong with me. I must be defective. And who would ever love someone who's defective? Adam, I need you to turn around. Eve, I need you to look away. I have to put this mask on first before you'll let me see you, before I'll let you see me. Have you ever worn a mask? We wear masks all the time. How many of you women put on makeup this morning? Should I go there or should I not go there? We wear makeup. We get tan. We work out. We spend a lot of time evaluating, how was I perceived in that situation? Have you ever gone home after a gathering and said to your friend or your spouse, hey, was I okay? How did I come across? Did that make sense what I was trying to say? Or was that funny or was that dumb? We spend a lot of time evaluating who we are. Everybody here seems to believe so much in God, but I'm just not sure. But they're also confident. I probably better put on this little faith mask and just make sure I can fit in. I can't let anybody know that I actually am carrying some doubt. Now, it's okay to try to be better. It's okay to try and improve ourselves. That's a good thing. But there's a world of difference between trying to improve ourselves and wearing a fig leaf to try and hide ourselves. Here's why we wear masks. It's so simple. We wear masks because we're afraid. God says, Adam, where are you? He says, I'm hiding from you. Why are you hiding from me, son? Well, I'm hiding from you because I'm afraid. You're afraid? What in the world are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid of rejection. The serpent told me I should be this way, but I don't feel that way. So certainly something's gone wrong. Who would love me now? I have to take on the makeup. I'm not naturally pretty enough. I'm going to laugh at your crude jokes, even though they're not funny, because I don't want to be the odd man out. I can't be the Christian prude in the room. I have to overcompensate for my weaknesses. I have to overcompensate for my flaws. Husband, wife, I don't want you to see me naked because my birthday suit doesn't look like the movies. See, we're Nacho, or rather we're Ignacio from Nacho Libre, who has to wear a mask when we wrestle because how can a friar love wrestling? Friars aren't supposed to be luchadors. They're not supposed to be wrestlers. We have to wear a mask. Hey, kids, wave at me for a quick second. Who's your favorite superhero? Shout it out. Shout them out loud. Who are your favorite superheroes? That's a nice low voice for a child. By the way, Amber, you failed that little meet and greet time. I heard you saying, my favorite superhero is Spider-Man from the new series because he's so hot. That was not the point of the interaction. Okay, in every superhero movie, what is the worst thing that can happen to a superhero? I mean, aside from kryptonite if you're Superman. Isn't being unmasked losing your powers. Isn't being revealed and exposed as your alter ego, isn't that the worst thing that can happen? Every superhero has to get beat up a little bit before they save the day. It's just part of the script. You can't win every fight. You have to get beat up a little bit before you come back and have your big finale. But there's always these different scenes where the bad guy gets the upper hand and he always wants to reach down and unmask the superhero. I've got to show everybody who's underneath the Spider-Man mask. But have you noticed in the superhero movies, they wear masks not to cover up their weaknesses, but to cover up their strengths. I can't let everybody know that I'm actually Spider-Man, that I actually have these powers. See, it's one thing to cover up our weaknesses. See, if you reject me in the areas where I'm weak, it makes sense. That's where I'm weak. If you reject my weakness, hey, I get it. I reject it too. But wow, if you reject me where I'm strong, if you reject me in the area of my greatest talent, oh my God, what do I do then? What do I have to fall back on then? Rejection is so powerful. It's so strong. Rejection was the first wound to ever enter into the human soul. And that's why rejection is so powerful. And that's why we're so vulnerable to it. And when we have been rejected, we do two things. Number one, we cover up. And then number two, we go looking for love. But the problem, and we all know this, the problem is that when we're covered up and looking for love, we can never really trust the love. Because I never know, do you really love me or do you love the mask that I'm projecting for me? And do you know that rejection can become a self-fulfilling prophecy? Have you ever heard the term self-sabotage before? I don't think people consciously think, I'm going to go ruin myself. I'm going to go ruin all of my relationships. But what happens is when we think we're going to be rejected, sometimes it's easier to just go there first. I've already messed up. I'm sure God's going to reject me, so I'm just going to stay hidden here behind these trees in the garden. In fact, maybe I won't even be there when he shows up for our evening stroll at the end of the day. I'm sure these friends of mine are going to reject me, so I'll just go ahead and accept it, and I'll just embrace this little rejection identity. It's possible for us to experience rejection without embracing a rejection identity, but when we embrace a rejection identity, this little storm cloud of rejection starts forming over our head. You ever see Pigpen from Charlie Brown? You know the cloud that follows Pigpen everywhere he goes? When we embrace a rejection identity, this cloud of rejection forms over us. It actually creates a culture of rejection, and it can make people want to reject us. Have you experienced that? Have you been around somebody that has so embraced a rejection identity that you don't even know why, but something in you wants to recoil? It's almost like they're radiating rejection. It creates a culture of rejection around us. Yes, we're the ones that were rejected. We're the ones that were hurt. But when we came into agreement with the lie of rejection, rejection now becomes our ethos. And so Adam says, God, I'm hiding because I'm afraid, because I'm naked. And God says, who told you you were naked? In other words, who told you that your naked self was not worth loving? Did I tell you that, Adam? No, sir. That didn't come from you. Here's what God said. Here's what God says to this area of rejection. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of his glory and grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The word accepted there is a word that means to pour or shower grace onto somebody. In fact, the word means to view somebody as highly favored. There are places in the Bible where this word actually gets translated highly favored. In fact, do you remember when God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to prophesy to her that she would become the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember how the angel greeted her? Do you remember what he called her? Let me read it to you. It's from Luke chapter 1. Listen to verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Exact same word as being accepted in the beloved. "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." So wait a second. God is saying that you and I are highly favored like Mary? I mean, wasn't this the virgin Mary? The pure Mary? The only Mary that God thought was worthy to carry his son? That's how he views us? And by the way, when you are in something, you don't need to wear a mask because the something that you are in is already masking you. Mary carried Christ in her, but Ephesians tells us that Christ is carrying you in him. He's surrounding you. You're accepted in the beloved. If you are in, surrounded by the beloved, what's radiating from you? What surrounds you? You are loved by God. You are made in his image. You are cherished by deity. You are unique out of all creation. You are loved as if you were the only person on the planet worth loving, period. Now, it's hard to live this. I'm not saying anything new this morning so far. We've heard this before. It's hard to live accepted in a rejecting world, isn't it? And how many of you know this is a rejecting world? Every I think it sounds sophisticated to say advertisement, but every advertisement, I've never been able to say that before. Every advertisement is designed to convince you that you lack something. Every actor or actress who gets up on the screen without saying it sends you the message that you're not beautiful enough. We played wiffle ball up at the men's retreat. On Friday night, some of the guys were playing wiffle ball and they actually chose teams. Any of you remember choosing teams from elementary school? You know where all of our issues started developing? The two popular kids get up as captains, and I pick you, and I pick you, and I pick you, and I pick you. And every time I pick you, the corollary is also true. I don't pick you, and I don't pick you, and I don't pick you. I think Patrick was chosen last at men's retreat. He was standing there, and I almost gave you Carol Montgomery's phone number for some therapy or something. But actually, you were wearing a Raiders jacket, so there might have been a reason for the rejection in that situation. But rejection starts when we're so young. Hey, nobody gets excited for the kids who get chosen to be homecoming royalty. Nobody gets excited for them except for the ones that are chosen. And the popular kids that are chosen, they breathe a sigh of relief. Whew, I'm still accepted. Everybody else is thinking, man, wish that was me. But it makes sense that it's not me. I'm probably not really popular enough, or I'm not really homecoming material anyway. So how do we do this? How do we live accepted in a world that is bent on rejecting us? Two ways. Now, there are more ways, but I just want to give you two ways this morning. And if we really worked these two ways, this would take us a long way. Number one is this: knock it off. Quit quoting Satan's lies to yourself. Quit coming into agreement with the rejection of the enemy. Do you know that some of the meanest things you will ever hear said about you will not come from another person? They'll come from your own head. Some of the most vicious things that you will ever think about yourself or ever hear about yourself come from your own mind. So stop. Knock it off. It's sin. If God says accepted, and we say rejected, we have just created an idol out of our insecurity. And we are right back in the garden talking to a lying snake again. We need to stop. Knock it off. Please. If I was your dad, I would grab you by the chin. And I would lift your gaze to mine. And I would say, daughter, son, don't you ever let me catch you coming into agreement with these lies from the enemy. Knock it off. A.W. Tozer is an author that I really respect, and he wrote a book. It's not my favorite Tozer book, but it's my favorite Tozer title. He wrote a book called I Talk Back to the Devil, We have to learn how to do that. The very first thing that Jesus Christ modeled for us after he was baptized and filled with the Spirit of God, he went into the wilderness and he talked back to the serpent. He went into the wilderness, had a conversation. The first Adam in the garden was seduced by the serpent. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, in the garden of the wilderness, talked back to the enemy and silenced the enemy's voice. That's number one. Knock it off. Number two, accept someone else. Since you have been accepted in the Beloved, and the Beloved is Jesus Christ, by the way. Since you have been accepted in the Beloved, go out and accept someone else on the Beloved's behalf. You know, counseling can help you deal with rejection, and maybe you need counseling. Bible study can help you deal with rejection. Maybe you need Bible study. But sometimes the quickest way to knock rejection on its butt is to go find someone else to accept. If you make it a commitment, I'm going to find somebody else to accept and embrace and affirm every time I'm rejected, the serpent will eventually back off. It's too risky to reject her. It's too risky to accept him every time, or reject him. Every time we reject him, he goes and heals somebody. Every time we start pounding her and burying her under waves of rejection, she finds somebody to love. Let's just leave her alone. I'd rather she feels fine than she goes out and spreads that fineness to 30 people around her. We need to knock it off. We need to not tolerate those feelings in our lives. And we need to find someone to accept. Let me bring the worship team back up. Let me read you a story. I've read this to you before, but it's worth hearing again. Marianne Bird wrote The Whisper Test. And in this book, she tells a story of a woman who was an agent of Christ's acceptance. You and I have the opportunity to be agents of acceptance for God's sons and daughters. She writes this. She says, I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, what happened to your lip? I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family would love me. There was, however, a teacher in second grade whom we all adored, Mrs. Leonard. She was short, round, happy, a sparkling lady. Annually, we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in class, and finally it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? I waited there for those words that God must have put in her mouth, those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, I wish you were my little girl. Oh my gosh, what a story. I wish you were my little girl. We don't know anything about this short, round lady. We don't know anything about how she felt about herself. We don't know what she was facing. Everybody has stuff. Everybody has issues. The thing with rejection is even though we feel rejected, it creates a self-absorption. It causes us to become so self-aware that we sometimes don't even see the people around us. The beautiful thing about this story is when a little rejected girl stood in front of her, Mrs. Leonard saw her. And she saw who she really was. See, if Genesis is true, then you're not a God, but you are made in the image of God. You're not God. I don't need to worship you. But you carry the imago Dei. You carry the stamp of God. You carry the imprint of God, and I stand in awe of you. We can't really be agents of acceptance until we see people the way God sees them. If we really saw each other as we really are, we wouldn't worship each other, but we would stand in awe of who we are. We would stand in awe of the Christ in each other. We would see the creative element and the beauty and the goodness, and it would be our absolute pleasure to accept one another. I want to be an agent of acceptance. Have any of you felt rejected recently? Like within the last few weeks, anybody here felt emotions of rejection? I have. Am I preaching the wrong sermon today? Nobody has felt rejection recently. Any of you rejected people who aren't raising your hands? Have you felt tempted to put on a mask recently? I have. And I want us this morning to do two things. We're going to receive communion right now. And I would like for us, as we receive communion, to reject rejection and to accept acceptance. Isaiah 53 is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. And it says this in verse 1. It says, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by mankind." Why? Why was Jesus Christ rejected? Jesus was rejected so that we could be accepted. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he begins his time on the cross praying to his Father. He prays to the Father, and yet during the time while he was on the cross, the sin of the world was dumped on top of Jesus. And at that time, God the Father looked away, and Jesus starts by praying to the Father, but then he shifts and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He started talking to the Father, but then the Father had to turn away and reject the sin, and he calls out to God, and in that moment, our rejection was placed on him. But then God the Father looked back to him, and he ends his time on the cross talking to the Father again. The very final words of Jesus Christ on the cross were, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus Christ was rejected so that we don't have to be. Today, we can reject rejection. We can repent of the idols that we've made of rejection. And we, by faith, can touch acceptance. And we can touch that life and that grace of God. So let's repent today. Listen, if you've been rejected recently, even if you've been terribly rejected by a loved one, I want to tell you something. That person does not have the final word about your identity. Even if you're being rejected right now by the person that you love the most in the world, they do not have the final word about your identity. The final word has already been given, accepted in the Beloved.